This is KERI News. Public schools across North Texas have endured a demographic earthquake over the past half century. For the last 6 months, KERA education reporters have embedded in four very different high schools, which we'll explore for the next few weeks. First up, Bill Zeeble traces the multiple transformations of Kimball High in the Oak Cliff neighborhood of southern Dallas.
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
It's 1961, just 3 years since Kimball High School opened. Margie Horton was among the first students to walk Kimball's halls. She was Margie Holman then, and in 1961, was in the school's second graduating class.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was exciting. It was brand new. We got to choose the mascot, the name of the drill team, so we had lots of activities going on.
When Horton graduated, Kimball had 1,400 students, about the same number as today. Back then, Kimball included 7th and 8th grades because the middle school wasn't built yet. And nearly every student was white. Horton's classmates called themselves the Knights.
Because it was Justin F. Kimball. And so we thought JFK and K would be the Knights.
Even in those early years, race rippled through this Oak Cliff Camelot, recalls Steve Bartlett, class of 66. The kid who would become a congressman, then Dallas mayor, remembers prepping for a debate tournament.
We got the word from the school district that the Jesuit team from North Dallas had been disinvited because the team had an African-American debater. So I made probably the most passionate speech of my high school career on the debate squad to convince the Kimball debate squad to boycott the tournament.
Bartlett, offended by the racism, says the district didn't go for his boycott and only he stayed behind.
So those were the kind of times we're in. There was this constant struggle. The adults knew that they needed to integrate and didn't quite know how. We're trying to avoid it.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
Then came 1971. Courts ordered the district to desegregate. It took 5 years before busing began. Future Kimball graduate Debbie Cox was 8.
Our neighbors that lived immediately directly across the street from us, when they started, the year they started in busing, boy, the for sale sign went up in their yard and they booked it up north and moved to Richardson.
Cox says most of her white neighbors moved south to growing burbs like Duncanville or DeSoto. In 1977, D Magazine reported that a wealthy Northwest subdistrict of Dallas lost a third of its white students. Over a 7-year period, more than 40,000 white kids left district-wide. African Americans now made up almost half the Dallas student population. In 1983, Debbie Cox, who's white, entered a mixed-race Kimball High.
We just, like I say, we all got along. Even though the diversity of cultures, you know, whites, blacks, Hispanics, we all got along. And I have to say, kind of credit part of who my character is, you know, was from growing up with all those different cultures. You learn to get along, and I think we were all struggling to get by and helped each other out, you know.
Norma Valdez Aragon, also class of 86, knows. When she was little, her family moved here from Mexico. There were no bilingual classes then, and learning English was sink or swim. She swam. By high school, Aragon says no one knew English was her second language. She felt welcomed at Kimball.
I had a great educational experience. I really believe that's why I became a teacher. It's not talked about, but I felt teachers were culturally responsive to the needs of students, even as far back as when I was in school.
Aragon started as a Kimball social studies teacher and is now an instructional coach. Her kids go there. One even just started teaching there. She's seen a dramatic change at Kimball, from majority black to majority Hispanic, and in the neighborhood. Here's her 1986 classmate, Yvonne Perez Shaw.
It looks very different. Wasn't taken care of. It makes me sad. I love the area, but I think that comes with respect, you know, respecting your house, respect, you know, how you take care of things. But it's a different time. That neighborhood, it's the whole neighborhood.
In time, the school suffered too. Beginning in 2006, the state rated Kimball academically unacceptable. It stayed that way for 5 of the next 6 years. Dieta Culbertson, with the Texas Education Agency, puts that academically unacceptable, or AU, rating in perspective.
In 2009, they were what we call a four-year AU school, and they were one of eight campuses out of almost 6,000 that were low-performing that year.
Only eight out of 6,000 schools in the entire state. Philip Tanner graduated from Kimball in 2006, the first of those five academically unacceptable years. His family was like many at Kimball, black and low income. Tanner just says inner city when he ran the streets, he says, with friends from his apartment. Most kids at Kimball then were African American. Tanner also ran for Kimball's football team, becoming an all-district back. That got him into college. Then he signed with the Cowboys for 3 years. Now he's got a new career, coaching at Kimball.
It's definitely a different generation of kids. They need the support. You know, we had the support from mom and the staff. You know, however, some of these kids don't have the support from family and barely get it from staff.
Tanner came back to change that, like some fellow Kimball graduates.
Just seeing how kids' face light up to know, oh, he's a professional ball player, and he came from the same streets I came from, sat in the same desk I came in. Knowledge is so powerful, and it's everlasting. It's only right that I come back and do the same thing that was done for me.
Kimball's changed yet again. Today, two of every three students are Hispanic, the other third mostly black. This once all-white school now has just a handful of white kids. There's been a wave of new charter schools and even competition from nearby districts as Kimball works hard to rebound academically. In recent years, it's consistently met tougher academic standards. Big barriers remain, however, like poverty. When Philip Tanner was a sophomore, 57% of the students were economically disadvantaged. Today, it's grown to 83%. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.